question is, have you, speaking second person singular, not speaking in the plural, God's Word speaking to you individually and personally, have you been baptized since coming to faith in Christ? That's the question.
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing our series, Life in the Local Church. Last time, Don began a message titled, A Closer Look at Baptism. We were introduced to the first two of four key questions that are vital to understanding biblical baptism. Why do we practice baptism, and who should be baptized? Simply put, the answers are, Christ commands it, and everyone who calls Jesus Lord. Today, Don will show us the answers to the questions, how do we baptize, and what does it represent? So open your Bible, and let's join Pastor Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
Baptism is for those who have received Christ with an intelligent, volitional faith after hearing the gospel. That means it's not for babies. Some people baptize infants. Catholics think that it saves them from sin, washes away original sin, and puts them in the kingdom of God. That's not true. Scripture says that salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is an intelligent response to things that have been proclaimed to you from the Word of God. Babies don't do that. Babies do a lot of other things, but they don't do that. And so baptism is not for infants, especially in the way that Catholics practice it. Some Protestants baptize infants for a different reason. We need to be fair about this. They baptize infants not because they believe that it confers salvation upon them. They'll explain it in different ways, but at the heart they'll say, we are signifying that this child belongs to the covenant people of God because he belongs to believing parents. And therefore, this child is part of God's covenant family, and we baptize them as a mark, as a sign that they belong to the covenant. Well, we won't go into all of that today. We'll simply say this, is that their support for that rests on a lot of theological assumptions without any clear biblical direction to baptize infants from the New Testament whatsoever. Every New Testament example is of people of intelligent position in life responding to the gospel with repentance and belief in Christ. Infants don't do that. And therefore, at Truth Community Church, we do not believe that baptism is appropriate for infants. And that's why we don't baptize them. There is better warrant, as we've tried to show you here today, for only baptizing true disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, one little thing here is just kind of an adjunct to that, a little sidecar excursion here, is that we baptize people on the basis of a credible testimony of conversion to Christ. As elders, we can't look into someone's heart and know whether they're actually saved or not. A conversion is an invisible act that we cannot render final, infallible judgment on. We don't have that capacity. God hasn't given that to us. What we do is that we baptize people when they present a credible testimony of faith in Christ that says, that somehow expresses, I understand the gospel. I understand that I'm a sinner who has offended a holy God. I have turned from my sin and received Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my life has changed as a result of that. If somebody comes with that kind of testimony, we'll baptize them. If they haven't been previously baptized as a believer, we'll baptize them. We can't guarantee that they're actually regenerate, but we also don't probe into and challenge a credible testimony. We take it at face value and accept it for that. And if somebody came and tried to deceive us with that, that's on them, not on us. Our duty as church leadership is to baptize people in response to a credible testimony of faith, and we accept those at face value. So, Why do we baptize? Because Christ commanded it. Who do we baptize? Those who have turned to Christ in saving faith. Third question, how do we baptize? How do we baptize? Some people sprinkle water. Some people pour water. We practice baptism by immersion, which is why the place over there is full of water. We're going to have a baptism in just a little bit. Two of them, actually. How do we baptize? We baptize by water immersion for the following reasons. First of all, the English word baptize is simply a transliteration of the Greek word baptizo. And the word baptizo expresses the idea of immersion. And almost any Greek dictionary or lexicon that you would look at would quickly affirm that to you. Greek dictionaries give the meaning of to dip or to immerse. That's Bauer, Art, and Gingrich. Kittle says to immerse. Mount says to put or go underwater. Thayer says it's an immersion in water. This is multiplied over and over again with examples. It's a word that's used to dip something in dye so that it is submerged in the dye and takes on the color of the dye, for example. It's a word that is used to describe the sinking of a ship as it's submerged underwater in other ways, in addition to the way that it's used biblically. And so, not only the lexical form, but immersion is also reinforced by the description of biblical baptisms that you see. And this is even more important. Look at the Gospel of Mark here. Again, just trying to help you have an outline in your mind of why we practice baptism the way that we do. Not trying to answer every question, but giving you an outline that says, oh, this is why we do it. This is what we see in Scripture that leads us to this practice. Mark chapter 1, the Gospel of Mark. Speaking of the baptism of John the Baptist, in Mark chapter 1, verse 4. Now we're only looking at the way that baptism was practiced. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea was going out to them, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him, watch this, in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Keep that in mind as you look at verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Jesus, of course, being sinless, was not confessing sins in his baptism. He was fulfilling baptism on in a righteous way for those who would believe in him. Verse 10, he says, immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And so in this passage, you see people going into the river to be baptized with a word that means immerse. And you see them coming out of the water, not just away from it, but out of, having been in the water, coming out of it, being a picture of immersion. You also see this when Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 in verse 36. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Acts chapter 8 in verse 35. Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along on the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Philip, with a verse that probably not original to the original text, but still indicating the thrust of what would have been said, said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What happened? He ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And in verse 39, they came up out of the water. Now, friends, look, what does baptism by immersion represent but going into the water, going under it, coming out of the water? We believe that that's an obvious biblical pattern, and that's why we baptize the way that we do. When you combine the meaning of the word baptize with the idea of being in a river, you're left with the picture of immersion unless you have a theological agenda that forces you to have to explain that away. Now, finally, what does baptism represent? And this becomes very important for your spiritual lives. You know, in a room of this size, I know that there are many that struggle with assurance and try to sort out, you know, do I belong to Christ or not? Well, understanding what baptism is and what it isn't can actually help clarify the reality of the gospel in your own mind and help you assess whether you should be baptized or not if you haven't been baptized. Question number 4, what does baptism represent? Baptism is an outward symbol that testifies to a prior inward reality. That's really important for you to understand. Let me say it again. Baptism is an outward symbol that testifies to a prior inward reality. In other words, if you're questioning whether you're saved or not, you should not say, I'm going to get baptized in order to get saved. It doesn't work that way. Baptism does not convey or confer salvation on anyone. It's simply a physical, visible symbol that testifies to an invisible reality that's taken place. You should be baptized because you are saved. You do not get baptized in order to be saved. The distinction and the sequence of that is very important. Look over at Romans chapter 6. Paul here, speaking about the reality of inward conversion, describes salvation as being immersed into Christ. He's not talking about being immersed into water here, because he talks about being baptized into Christ. Look at verse 3. He says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death," not into water, into Christ, into death. We share in spiritual realities with Christ, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. What does baptism represent, beloved? It represents this spiritual reality, that when a man or woman, a young person, puts their faith in Christ and they're truly born again, their old man dies. It has been buried with Christ, and he is raised to newness of life. Still in the same physical body, but a completely new inner man. Baptism is designed to picture that spiritual reality. You come into the water, standing as it were. You go into the water picturing your death to your old man, buried as it were with Christ. You're raised up out of the water picturing the new life that you henceforth go forward in. Water often is a medium of judgment in Scripture. The water in the days of Noah was an act of judgment. Well, Christ entered into the judgment of death and came out alive. Baptism pictures going into judgment with him and coming out on the other side alive to newness of life. Baptism is a picture of that reality of our death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. Colossians 2 verse 12 points to that as well. Baptism does not save anyone. We are justified by faith, not by works. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast." You must be saved in order to be baptized. You do not get baptized in order to be saved. Baptism does not add merit to your account that forces God to accept you. In other words, we are saved solely on the basis of the perfect righteousness and the shed blood of Jesus Christ counted to us, imputed to our account. That is the only thing that can save you, and you only receive that by faith. So don't go into baptism thinking, oh, now I can get saved, because that's not true. The fact that baptism does not save you does not mean that baptism is optional, as if it were some secondary add-on to the Christian life that you can take or leave, as if you were getting a hamburger at Burger King and say, you know, I think I'll leave off the tomatoes and lettuce. I'll just leave off the baptism. It's just not that important to me. No, that's not it at all. Jesus said, believe, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By what prerogative do you overrule and veto the teaching of Jesus and say, that doesn't apply to me? That doesn't make any sense. That's high-handed rebellion, to just reject it and say, not for me. You know, people have different reasons. You know, I'm shy. Well, okay, that doesn't really matter. There was honestly a woman back at that other place that I was at some years ago who rejected baptism for a very, very long time. Sweet, older woman, just a little bit confused in her head, said, I can't get baptized because I get my hair done on Saturday. She, true story. She refused baptism for the longest time because that was going to mess up the hair job that she had just had. Beloved, that's not legitimate. A lot of you don't even have much hair, and so it wouldn't apply to you anyway. Baptism is not optional. Beloved, here's the thing. A true Christian will desire to obey Christ in baptism as a grateful response to having his sins forgiven. Now, that leads us to two questions. Actually, it leads us to a few questions. First of all, I ask you this question. Have you given yourself over to believer's baptism? Have you given yourself over to believer's baptism? I know that many of you have, and I rejoice with you in the grace of God in your life. Your baptism is an outward evidence of the reality of the inner faith that you've had. You only have to be baptized as a believer one time. So praise God for that. Maybe you've been baptized. I want to speak pastorally to you. Maybe you've been baptized, but in reality, you're not a Christian. That happens a lot. Happens a lot to people who grow up in churches that baptize children at a very young age. 6, 7 years old, looks really cute. But the child hasn't actually had the opportunity to process what it really means. He's pleasing his parents or the pastor as much as he is outwardly showing a true repentance in Christ. Over time, you can tell where that was not real, where it wasn't a believer being baptized there, because the child grows up and his life goes on and he goes into his preteen and teen years and into his early adult life. Can see it all the time. Makes me sick. That child, baptized in the past, maybe with the words of confession being planted in his mouth by an adult rather than testifying to his own faith in his own words, that child lives his life saying, oh, I was baptized. Oh, I prayed a prayer. Oh, I'm a Christian. But has no interest in the things of Christ, has no interest in God's word, does not mind living a life of unbroken sin, and shows nothing, watch this, shows nothing in his life or her life over time that would manifest the reality of the new life and new desires that baptism is supposed to symbolize having already taken place. That's a travesty. That's not right. That makes a mockery of Christ, a mockery of the gospel, and a mockery of his ordained ordinance of baptism. And so if some of you are like that, you say, well, I was baptized back when. Don't be so quick to point to that as proof that you're a true Christian if you have no real desire for Christ, if you can live in sin without any compunction of conscience, if you don't love God's word enough to read it once in a while. Don't be deceived. That baptism won't do anything. Watch this. That baptism won't do you any good at the judgment seat of God. because that water has already dried off. And without the inner reality that corresponds to true conversion, you should not rest in that. Now, let me just address in another way, those of you that are here, you're teachable, you're tender to God's Word. Let me just help you walk through a couple of thoughts about baptism as we close. You're here and you say, you know what, I am a Christian, but I haven't been baptized. Let me help you think through that. First of all, maybe you were just unaware before you came in today how important baptism is. You know what? That's fine. You know, let's just do this then. It's very easy to correct that. We have baptism applications on that table straight out the door there. You can start by picking up a baptism application and going there, talking to one of the elders. We would love to help you and point you in the right direction there. If you were unaware, but you haven't been baptized, okay, now you know, now you can act on it, now we can move forward in spiritual life. God will bless you for that. Maybe you're unsure whether you were truly converted. Here's the thing for you. I'm not sure. You say, and what I mean by that is, you know, I don't know if I was a Christian when I was baptized as a very young person or not. Well, do this. Don't ask, when did I pray a prayer, and try to measure it by that. If you want to know if you are a true Christian, ask yourself, and you want to know, when did that occur in my life? Simply ask this. When did God's Word come alive to me? When did I really start to love Christ? When did obedience matter to me? When was there a change in my life of some kind? And measure the reality of your conversion by the desires that conversion produces rather than an external act that you did. Asking yourself those kinds of questions can clarify the nature of salvation to you, and it can also help you have clarity about where you stand in relationship to the Lord's command to be baptized. And so, if you prayed a prayer, but that was followed by years of disinterest, rebellion, that early prayer didn't mark a conversion. Whatever else it was, it wasn't true salvation. And so don't be deceived about that. And there's one last thing that I would say here. Do you understand baptism and yet refuse to be baptized? Don't call yourself a Christian. Really, don't. If you understand and say, no, I understand, but I won't do that, you don't need to think about the ordinance of baptism. You need to think about the words of Jesus when he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You see, when you understand the ordinance of baptism, it clarifies an awfully lot of things in spiritual life for you. And that's why we've taught these things today, so that you could understand, so that you could reflect and say, have I honored Christ? Actually, do I know Christ? I do. I love him. I love his word. He's changed me. Praise God. Have you been baptized as a believer? I haven't. I'm ready. Show me the way. Good for you. The more you distance yourself from that and in cold-hearted indifference, refuse to even pay attention when the word is preached to you, don't rest in thinking wrong things about your life. Life change shows the reality of true conversion. And so, beloved, question is, have you, speaking second person singular, not speaking in the plural, God's Word speaking to you individually and personally, have you been baptized since coming to faith in Christ? That's the question.
Baptism is indeed an outward expression of an inward change. The Bible tells us all we need to know about practicing it according to God's will. Well, we hope you've come to a better understanding of this ordinance, as Pastor Don Green has taught about it here on the Truth Pulpit, as part of our current series, Life in the Local Church. Right now, Don's back here in studio with us. And Don, we have a very special time ahead over the next couple of broadcasts. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, Bill, as you know, I am very excited about what lies ahead in the coming couple of broadcasts on the Truth Pulpit. Over the next 2 days, we are going to broadcast actual testimonies from members of Truth Community Church as they underwent the waters of baptism. It'll give you a sense of how we practice baptism at our church, and I know that the testimonies of changed lives as a result of the work of Christ in each individual heart is going to be a great blessing and encouragement to you. Be sure to be with us over the next couple of broadcasts on the Truth Pulpit.
Well, we'll look forward to the upcoming programs. But friend, just before we leave you today, a reminder of your standing invitation to visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also learn more about podcasts. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.